If you missed the show,
check out Montreal's number one morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
So I came across the craziest thing yesterday, and although it sort of made sense to me, I think Montreal would lose it. So how do you eat your bagels? Do you slice them in half like the traditional way? Do you eat them whole, like just bite into them? What do you do?
I haven't had a bagel in about 12 years,
okay,
sadly.
Okay, I'm not going to ask you. Okay. Sam, help me out.
Every which way. I don't think there's a right or wrong way to eat a bagel, as long as you're eating a bagel.
Okay.
Until I moved to Montreal, I had never seen anybody eat it except for cutting it in half and toasting it.
Okay.
Like, here, people are eating it raw, just, like, taking bites out of it.
Yeah, it depends. Sometimes you slice it in thirds as well.
They're not as fresh as here. That's probably why.
Yeah.
Here, they're like, fresh, so you can eat them
when
just,
you get
like,
one
whole.
Piping hot, yeah, you just take a bite
a
out of it.
A simple bite just, like, melts in your mouth. Yeah. Okay, fine. So, would you ever slice them like sliced bread?
I don't know why anyone would do that.
Like vertically slice them.
Yeah, like a loaf of bread, a bunch of different slices.
Never thought of it that way.
Well, it's a thing in St. Louis, Missouri. Apparently, the Panera breads there, it is common that they slice their bagels like bread. There's a guy named Alex Krautman. He was just a customer, but he bought a bunch of bagels, sliced them like that, brought them to work, and somebody took a picture, and now it's all over the internet. It's like the new white and gold, black and blue dress. It's the biggest rage. It's bread rage.
It's odd to see, but I was thinking if you're at work, for instance, and you're not going to toast it. For toasting it, this seems like a ridiculous thing to do because you'd lose it in the toaster. It ends up in a bunch of little pieces. Mm-hmm. But if you're at work and you just want to have like a little bit, you know, sort of like a, you know how everybody's like, who will split a donut with me?
Yeah.
Like, I think
who
you
wants
can
a
just,
slice of my bagel?
Exactly. You can just like take little pieces of it and sort of like dip it in whatever you want, like your butter or whatever. And I can see it being a little convenient in that way.
Could you see St. Viateur Bagel giving that a try?
I don't think they're going to change their ways. They're doing all right.
Yeah, they are.
The other thing too is that when you like the finer you slice it, the quicker it goes stale, I find. With someone who has a thicker beard like I do, biting into a whole bagel with lots of cream cheese, it's disastrous.
It's all over you.
So, the smaller you can slice it, the more damage control you can do.
Yeah. You can also think about how much you're consuming, right?
Like, well,
you can
just with a bagel, I mean, we know.
It's multiple bagels.
Who are you kidding?
Maybe you're counting your carbs in your carb counter and you just want a little.
Or you may have more because you think, hey, they're so little, I can just keep popping them in and the calories just.
Well, if you ever go to St. Louis, go to Panera. Every single Panera in St. Louis is equipped with a bagel slicer.
And hey, we're talking about them here, which is impressive.
You're
going to see any Montrealers. Like I saw yesterday on Twitter, people freaking out over this. They were
there
you
was
monsters.
Rage.
You monsters. What are you doing?
I wouldn't be going to St. Louis for bagels, to be honest. I mean, if you're in St. Louis, maybe pass on the bagels altogether.
It's not thought number one that comes to mind when you think of St. Louis.
You're such a bagel snob. Such a bagel snob.
Rightfully so.
Montreal. Most listened to morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Okay, can men who don't wear their wedding rings be trusted? No, I'm kidding. Of course they can be trusted. But ladies, are you okay if your man doesn't wear his wedding ring? We're taking your text this morning at 92925. It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy.
You know, I have a buddy of mine who just got married, and I had lunch with him the other day, and I noticed that he had a wedding ring on his finger, which, you know, normally you would do after the wedding, but I couldn't help but notice he was fidgeting with it a lot. It just didn't look comfortable. And so I asked him, oh, like, the ring's new? Are you just keeping it on for the next little while, or, like, what's your plan with this ring? And he goes, no, I'm keeping it on for the rest of my life. And I struck me as being odd because this guy has never been a ring guy.
Right.
And so he's not used to it. So I told him, I said, you know, look, it's nice to put the ring on as a gesture, but you don't have to feel bound to it, you know, for the rest of your life. I mean, most of the guys I know that are married don't wear their wedding rings. They'll take it off for special occasions, but to constantly have a piece of jewelry on you that's not comfortable, what's the point?
You think most guys don't wear their wedding rings?
I'm going to venture and say on a day-to-day basis, most guys don't wear their wedding rings.
This is something I never really noticed, you know, like I have a lot of friends who are like, I looked at his finger to see if he had a wedding ring or not. And I never think to like look down at somebody's finger to see if they're married or not.
Would it throw you off if you married someone and they just chose not to wear their wedding ring?
No, I'm not traditional like that. Like, no, okay. I would be okay if they had a bare finger. Absolutely. Andy, you always wear your wedding ring though.
Yeah. And you know, when I first got married, I fidgeted with it all the time because I never wore a wedding ring before. But then I got married and all of a sudden I had a piece of jewelry on my finger and I fidget with it. It's one of those things you just kind of do it without even knowing it. It's subconsciously. But I kind of disagree. I think actually more and more guys that are getting married actually do wear their wedding rings now, because it's not just, you know, that standard kind of gold ring where there's nothing to it. A lot of guys are getting ring with character on it now. Mine's got this hammered look. It's black and silver and it's hammered in. It looks kind of cool. It's got a look. I got another buddy of mine. His is also black and silver and it's got a design on it. And now wedding rings for guys, at least, there's a cooler look to them now. It's not that plain old silver band or gold band.
But you've never been a ring guy, so had you not gotten married, you wouldn't be, you know, wearing a piece of jewelry like that. So
yeah,
you do?
But I'm married now, so I've got a wedding ring. That's kind of like
now
a thing.
You're a ring guy.
Well, yeah, but it's a thing for my wife. Like, why would I not want to wear my ring? What's the point of not wearing a ring? What am I trying to say?
To be more comfortable, to have your hands free.
Come on.
Would your wife have an issue if you didn't wear your wedding ring? Would she be questioning it?
I think if I constantly didn't wear it, yeah. Like, there's been the odd time where I've taken it off and I've forgotten to put it on and she doesn't really care. But if I never wore my wedding, if all of a sudden I just today stopped wearing my wedding ring, she would think that's kind of odd. Yeah, I think so.
I think like certain relationships, it depends on the people. Like for some people, that symbolic part of the marriage is extremely important. And for some people are like, having a ring on doesn't make you more or less married. Like you're still married or
exactly.
You're not. And I guess, Sam, we've learned you're not a ring guy, right? That's what this is all about.
Yeah, no, the way I see it is when you get married, you make enough sacrifices. What, I have to sacrifice my fingers? Just because I'm not a jeweler guy, if I was, it'd be a different story. But I mean, to have to put on a ring on for the rest of your life when you're not comfortable with it, it seems like a
little baby.
That seems like the biggest part of the commitment of marriage to you is the ring.
Well, to other people, it seems like it's the biggest deal. I don't know why. It's just a piece of metal. It's not going to prevent you from cheating or anything.
We're getting so many texts at 92925.
We are. We got this one. My husband is a plumber and can't wear his to work, which is perfectly fine. So I get that. Some people can't wear theirs because of work. But she says, but my rings don't always match my other jewelry. But that's not a good excuse to wear your wedding band or not to wear your wedding band. I totally agree. It's not. Okay. So it doesn't match your shirt. Too bad.
But sometimes with the engagement ring, like it can be big and it can be clunky. Like a lot of women I know don't want to wear that every single day, you know, and it's I don't know, depending, like Kim Kardashian's ring is worth $1 billion.
Oh, well.
She can't like wear that. She's not wearing that to the grocery store.
This guy's a jeweler and he texted and he says, I don't even wear my wedding band because I had to get it resized so many times. Sometimes it's too loose. Sometimes it's too tight. But I love my wife and I never cheated on her. I love you, Connie.
I just want to throw that out there.
Alana, what do you think?
Yeah, 100% against the husband not wearing the wedding ring.
Okay, so he has to wear it.
He has to wear it. If he takes it off for a day or two because he's doing yard work or painting or something, like, I understand that. You know, you don't want to damage it.
Yeah.
But no. If he forgets to put it back on, I'm like, where's your wedding ring? He's like, I left it in the kitchen. Like, yeah, go put it back on.
Is it because you're going to assume that women will think he's single?
In the long run, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but in the short run, we made a commitment. I keep mine on all the time, except when I'm doing something that's very dirty, I'll take it off and put it in the kitchen, you know, on a little counter there. But
here's the thing. Were you the type of person who, like, did when you were, like, checking out guys when you were single? Were you looking at the ring? Because I never do. Like, do you think most women are doing that?
Yes.
Yeah, really?
Oh. Yes.
Okay, I got to look down more often, apparently.
Yeah, and if there's like a shady white line and there's no ring there, you're like, he just got divorced, or he's out on the prowl.
There's a ring tan.
It's a symbol. The lack thereof of a white band means something, you know?
Well, what if you just marry someone who's not a jewelry guy? He just doesn't like wearing jewelry.
I mean, obviously, you've known that person for long enough to accept that, you know, and you can have that discussion.
Okay.
You know? But I knew he had a ring, like a decorative ring when I met him, so I'm like,
okay.
I hope he likes jewelry.
You know, he was the man for you.
I know a guy that's constantly taking his ring on and off, and he took it off one time and forgot where he put it, and he lost his ring. That's another danger of always taking it on and off, is you might lose it.
Go get a new one.
Thank you so much for calling. This text, my favorite. It says, rings don't prevent cheating, hence why I divorced my ex. The problem is what's between their ears, not what's on their finger.
Oh,
I think that's true.
You.
It's true.
Did they cheat with their ring on? That's dirty.
Everything you missed from Montreal's favorite morning show.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
All right, how do you know if you need to break up with a friend, and how do you do it? So somebody tweeted the other day a spring cleaning friendship questionnaire, basically.
Okay.
They were saying, like, with spring cleaning, you should also be spring cleaning the people in your life. And she said you need to ask yourself these questions if you're sort of questioning a friendship. So if there's somebody you're kind of, like, questioning, are they my friend? Should I keep them around or dump them? Apply these four questions to the relationship. Would we still have a good relationship if I didn't reach out first? So if you were giving absolutely no effort, would they be giving giving some? Mm-hmm. How do I feel after we hang out? Have I established healthy boundaries with them? And if so, do they respect them? And lastly, how do we show up for each other? Is it balanced?
Okay, so are they always there for you, but you're never there for them?
Exactly, exactly. Now, have you guys ever had to break up with a friend before, Sam? You said you have.
Yeah, I have. I mean, with guys, it's pretty simple. I mean, you just sort of cut the lines of communication. You reply like with more of a delay, more and more when they text you.
Okay.
So like, you know, as time goes on, I just take more time to get back to them and just sort of like wean them off.
Wean them off.
Yeah.
Maybe you're doing them a favor. Did you ever think of that?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, they're not exactly getting right back at you either.
Andy, have you broken up with a friend?
I guess in that sense, yeah, I have. I mean, that's just kind of how guys do it. We're really good communicators, obviously. But at the same time, I'm kind of like that with my friends. I take a long time to get back to them, but they don't care, and I don't care if they take a long time to get back to me. It's just how we are.
Maybe that's their way of breaking up with you.
Oh, and I'm just not letting them go.
Well, then it's mutual.
Kim, you've broken up with friends before?
Yeah, a little inter-office gossip got us in trouble.
Oh.
We hashed it out, but then it ended up, we kind of ghosted each other after that.
Right.
Same kind of,
a lot of people do the ghosting, and it's not always a bad idea, I will tell you. I'm going to explain that coming up in about 3 minutes, but I have to tell you, I'm bad at breaking up with friends. Like, I'm bad at dating, bad at breaking up with friends, bad at breaking up with guys.
You can't catch a break.
You don't want to have that awkward conversation, you know? I know that a lot of good can come out of having those conversations. And they said, you know, before you think about even breaking up with a friend, you have to consider, are they going through a really hard time? Like, are they just a jerk, or are they going through a time right now that is causing them to act like a jerk, basically?
But if they're not being a good friend and they're ignoring you and they're not putting in the effort, then it kind of makes it easy, right? You just don't get back to them and you just sort of let it fizzle out.
Oh, yeah, but then you feel bad and people are wondering. I don't want to, you know, if you have a friend who's been negative your whole life and that's who they are and that's who you know they are,
right.
And suddenly you've changed, like you've grown. That's what often happens, is the friend doesn't change. We're the ones who change, right? And I no longer want them to be part of my life. I feel bad just like leaving them hanging, you know, because they don't feel like they've changed or done anything wrong.
That's a really good question to ask. You know, you have to ask, you know, if you've been friends with somebody for a really long time, ask yourself, if we just met today, would we still be friends?
Right. Yeah.
And I'm kind of like that with a lot of my friends. I'm really good friends and I don't want to break up with any of them, but if I just met them today, I'd probably hate their guts.
Well, it's because I wouldn't hate their guts, but I think they become family. I have friends who have been in my life from the time I was a child, and sure, maybe if we met at work, we wouldn't necessarily be hanging out, but they're like a sister now.
Yeah,
you know?
That's it.
Okay, so we've got Tracy on the phone, and Tracy, you said that you've had to break up with friends a couple of times?
I have, actually.
Okay, for what reasons?
Well, mostly because they're a little bit biased in what they say. It's like, if you're going to speak and act. Must coincide.
Yeah.
If they don't coincide, then, you know, I'm sorry, but we cannot be friends. If you're going to tell me one thing, do it. Don't do the opposite of what you're telling me.
Preach, girl. Ugh. Preach.
I have a hard time accepting that. Maybe that's why most of my friends now are guys and I have one girlfriend.
Okay.
Wow.
I don't think it's a girl thing, though. I just think you were hanging out with the wrong ones.
I think so, too.
We'll go out this weekend. Have a good one, Tracy.
All right, have a good day, guys.
Bye. I was saying that I, like, have always had a hard time breaking up with friends. The reason that I've wanted to mostly in my adult life is I find some people, like, really draining and negative, you know, like, draining to my energy. And at one point, we got along fine. But obviously, maybe I changed in my adult life. But I always feel bad about it. Like, I feel like I don't automatically think, okay, we've grown apart. Like, that's how it works. I think something's, like, wrong with me, you know? I think something's wrong with me, or that
you're
how
the problem.
I not keep this friendship. Yeah.
And part of you wants to believe that they can change too, right? You never want to give up on someone, because if you like them once upon a time, then who's to say that you can't get along somewhere down the road?
Well, it's just true. It's just like suddenly it doesn't feel good anymore. You know, I'm like, this friendship and hanging out doesn't make me happy, doesn't
make
me feel good. So how are we supposed to break up with a friend? You know, I don't say this often, but I will say that Sam was kind of right earlier when he was talking
I'm sorry, what?
Do you start the conversation with, we need to talk?
You were kind of right. Well, no, they said that it's not always necessary to let the friend know that you want to break up with them. Like Kim said you kind of just like ghost and go away.
Yeah.
All right, well, you don't have to ghost completely, but they said if you think of it like a tennis match, it comes down to the way you communicate with a friend. So every time they ask you to go out, say like twice, start saying yes only one time.
Right.
You know, and you slowly, like Sam said, wean them off of you. Exactly.
It can take a while.
But they said that this was a therapist, and they said, you know, sometimes it's okay not to make a really big deal of letting things go. And oftentimes, more times than not, the friend friend may feel the same way that you are, right?
Yeah,
and feel
yeah,
like there's
exactly.
a mismatch there. However, sometimes it's a very close friend and you feel like you owe them an explanation, you know, somebody who's like a sister to you.
Yeah.
And they said the best thing to do is just to let them know that you really feel like you've outgrown each other and just sort of stay in touch periodically, you know, like, hey, I want to know how you're doing, but we're not going to be hanging out every other day. But you do have to brace yourself and be prepared, obviously, for them to be angry or sad or hurt. Like those emotions are going to come up, right?
Or just do group dates, right? Like bundle all your kind of quasi friends all together and just have a night out so you're not stuck with them one-on-one.
Well,
you know?
No, that energy's still there.
I know. It's it bounces off more people.
Okay, don't take that advice. Sam, I was giving you props earlier.
You're doing good.
You're doing good.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Online at thebeat925.ca.
Or subscribe on iTunes and Google Play.
And live weekday mornings starting at 5:30.
Montreal's perfect mix. The Beat 925.